Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Last Sunday, our life group got together and we went and did lunch together after service just to celebrate Christmas together, to do a gifts exchange with one another. And, you know, how many wonder sometimes if God, like, uses white elephant, you know, gift exchange type stuff just to get you the perfect gift? I mean, what are the odds sometimes of things that you unwrap and you're just like, this is like, I hate to say it, but I deserve this. Have you ever had one of those moments, you know? And so we're around the table last Sunday at Jose Pepper's and just enjoying each other's company. It comes to the gift exchange, and Robin unwrapped this gift. There's a picture of it too, but it's a Christmas ornament. Now, what, for those of you in the house that are like, what's so funny about that? I don't like cats. And there is not a cat that is going to make our tree in our house. I promise you that. Even not this little gold bulb. And what the freaky thing is about this bulb is that you hold it there and it moves around. It looks like the eyes are following you. Just to confer in my heart that cats really are evil. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But I love hearing of family gatherings, loud families. How many of y'all are from loud families that when the family gets together, it's just loud? I mean, the decibel goes up. My family, we have some Australians in my family. So when the Australians come over and my side of the family, we're all together. Man, Australians, shout out to Kay and Dave if you ever watch this. But man, they're just loud. It starts at 4 in the morning loud, and it goes all, it's just hilarious. Robin's side of the family, doesn't matter whose house we're at, doesn't matter if it was at her parents' house when they lived in Goodland, just a small little farmhouse, 25 people gathered in the smallest living room, and we just stay there all day. And I'm like, can some of us go to a different room? I mean, you know, just because, but 29 years now of being married, every Christmas, it doesn't matter if there's a bigger room somewhere else in the house, we all find this, what I feel like is the smallest room, and we stay there all day because it's part of Christmas, isn't it? Relationships are a part of Christmas, and the big story of Christmas is really, if you could boil it down, is that of relationship. That God loves you and me so much that he sent Jesus Christ, his only son, so that you could be with Almighty God for all of eternity. You could be at his table. Jesus left the perfection of heaven and came into this dark, sin-cursed world, not only to rescue us from the mess that it's going on around us, but to also, and how many are thankful for this, he came to rescue us from the mess that is within us. I mean, aren't you grateful that Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ and the message of Christmas? I mean, every year, it doesn't get old to me to just ponder this message. We've been in our Christmas series, Christmas list. If you've not caught on to the theme today, that's part of the theme of this service. There's a lot of things that are on a person's list. There's stuff, maybe there's elements of faith on your Christmas list. Maybe it's emotional health, as we talked about that last week. Maybe it's man, I want to go on this trip. If I could go here, or if I could accomplish, man, that's like on my list. To have my son clean his room maybe is on your list. Maybe on your list is finding Mr. or Miss Wright. And you're like, man, if I could just get that this year, it would be a good year. How many of you ever have a relationship or two that's not so holly and jolly? And you think about this Christmas list. What I want to just take a few moments on is just talk about relationships this morning. Remember your first holiday season as a married couple? If you're married in the house, you think about the adjustments that brought, you know, some of those early where traditions collide and maybe they produce tensions. Like, when do you open up Christmas presents? I mean, I grew up in a home where it was Christmas morning because it was Jesus' birthday. And Christmas is like about that, you know, and so I grew up in a home where it was Christmas morning. Robin grew up in a home where it was Christmas evening. How many of you are Christmas morning people? How many of you are Christmas evening? Or Christmas Eve, I should say. Okay, so how many of you are 5 days after Christmas? No, just kidding. So, you know, there was that tension, especially early. I mean, it wasn't a big deal when we were newly weds and we'd go to her family. That's just when we did it. When we go to my family, that's when we did it Christmas Day morning. But man, when we started staying home, we called Dr. Phil a few times. I mean, it was just like, how are we going to do this? Or what time, when do you eat the Christmas Day meal? Is it like noon or is it like at 6 in the evening? And so like this was some of the things that we dealt with. And yeah, it wasn't big deals but at all. But I mean, do you get a real tree? Or do you settle for a fake plastic, no smell tree, you know? We know this, there is no perfect people, there are no perfect relationships, and you know what? Christmas in many ways reminds us of that, doesn't it? In some regards, this morning I want us to look at the life of Joseph, the early father of Jesus, who found himself with relational challenges leading up to the first Christmas. And we're going to see how he navigated it and how he received from it. So look at it with me from our text, Matthew chapter 1 this morning. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born, Scripture tells us. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of us in this room this morning, many watching online are so familiar with this story that we just kind of read right past that and don't really stop to think about the dynamics of that passage of Scripture because we've heard it so many times. So I just want to read it again. And in light of Christmas list and in light of relationships, I want you to respond. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, put yourself in Joseph's sandals. What just happened to your relationship on this Christmas? What did Joseph do? How did he respond? Was Jerry Springer called? You know? It makes me wonder. But thankfully, we have more of the story, and it doesn't just end there. And how many know we shouldn't put a period where God puts a comma? Maybe in your life, in situations that are going on in your life right now, you're tempted to put a period somewhere because you don't see an option on how God could work something out, or you just see, man, this is not what I wanted, this is not where I thought I would be, this is not what I'd hoped for, period. It's over, this is it. Where God wants to go, no. Let's put a comma there. Let's look at some keys to handling relationship challenges that we learned from Joseph. And in so doing, it'll help us have a healthier Christmas. And we're going to kind of tie a ribbon on this at the end of it. But just some thoughts for you from the life of Joseph. I want to encourage us as we look at relationships on your Christmas list and relationships that you're in contact with right now is that be realistic with your expectation. I think whether you've been in church for a long time or this is your first time, it's safe to say Joseph wasn't expecting this to be part of his story. I mean, I can just hear him say, didn't see that coming. Scripture doesn't give us much detail how Joseph found out. Did Mary send a note to him? Did she send a friend to break the news? I mean, how many remember those days when you were in junior high school or middle school and you had a girlfriend and she was the love of your life, and all of a sudden Sarah's friend Judy showed up and Judy says to you, Sarah wants to break up, and you thought your life was over, right? Did Mary send a friend? How did Mary start the conversation? Have you ever thought about that? Joseph had a visitor the other night. I mean, how did that all unfold? Do you ever wonder what was going through Joseph's mind when Mary said, we need to talk? I'm thinking, he's probably thinking, well, she wants to talk about the colors. She wants to talk about who's invited to the wedding. She wants to talk about, you know, what the plans are, where we're going to live, what, you know, all these things. How many think he didn't expect this relational challenge? These messes can be some of the hardest to deal with. And during the holidays, many of you have to brace yourself for some annual family drama. Because maybe it's not mistletoe, it's more like missile throw. How many know what I'm saying? How many know? So sometimes the relational challenges are often the gap between what your expectation is and what the reality is. And that gap is called frustration. The things we are anticipating going into the relationship and what is actually going on in the relationship. Have you ever had those frustrating moments? You thought that you would, that he would do the dishes because you cooked the meal. You thought that she would clean the house because you were out tending to the yard. But reality hit when you walked back in. You thought your kid would cheerfully get home from school and ask you if there was anything that they could do for you around the house to help you. But then reality hit. And so did the backpack all over the floor, right? You thought that you would talk before major purchases would be made. And then reality hit. You thought that I could get a lot done. I could have got a lot done at work yesterday if my colleague, my coworker, wasn't pretending to be on The Voice and sang all day when they can't sing. You thought that your kid would do his own laundry when they were 20. Not all expectations are bad, especially when they have clear communication to them, but when expectations are clearly defined and communicated, and then when that happens, then frustrations are minimized, or at least we hope so. And here's the deal. People will disappoint you because people are broken. We all have imperfections, we all have brokenness, and we all have opportunity to show it, don't we? And Scripture reminds us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I love it that it says fallen short of the glory of God, not fallen short of Steve's glory or so-and-so's expectation, but of the glory of God. And I want to encourage you in light of this to show grace. Treat imperfect people like imperfect people. Treat broken people like broken people. Treat people who need grace like people who need grace. Expect people who don't follow Jesus to act like people who don't follow Jesus. If you want mercy, you have to show mercy. If you want grace, you have to show grace. Just as Joseph's relationship wasn't going as he expected, we're all about to see what he didn't allow things to get derailed. Even though they weren't going as expected, he didn't allow them to get derailed. Second thought this morning as we walk through this real quick is be guarded with your emotions. Look at it, verse 19. I love this. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. In other words, he was a good man. He did right things all across the landscape of his life. And did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. This point informs us what Joseph didn't do. and what we shouldn't do if we're going to have healthy family relationships, if we're going to have healthy relationships across the board. Joseph did not react out of his emotions. He lived and processed through his values. That's huge. He could have had plenty of validation initially for the news that he heard. Not what I was planning. She wasn't who she said she was. If her explanation would have been better than God made you pregnant, then maybe I would have listened a little bit. He could have done all that, but this is amazing. Think about this. Instead of Joseph trying to protect his own reputation, what will the neighbors say? He ended up protecting hers. How do you protect your relationships? Can I encourage all of us? Lead your emotions. Don't let them lead you. Your emotions will tell you how they feel. Mm-hmm. But they should never tell us how to live. Your feelings may be valid, but if your feelings tell you how to live, that can be dangerous. How many of you have ever experienced that? Does anyone have someone in your life and they know how to push your buttons? They know what your favorite sports team is and want to dog you for it. They know your political view is different, so they want to talk to you about it to get you stirred up and to point out all the flaws in the political party or the philosophy that you hold to. They want to talk about your breakups. They want to talk about your past failures. They want to talk about your firings. They want to talk about the things that you drive or the lack thereof or the clothes or the styles that you have or that which you don't have. They want to talk about all that stuff because they know that it can trigger you. They just like to stir you up to get you worked up. But just like Joseph, even in confusion, you don't have to allow the way you feel to cause you to act or to live a certain way. Don't allow someone else to rob you of your peace and of your joy. When you allow our emotions to be led by Scripture, then there's a rich heritage there. And I think Scripture does prove to us what is true when we allow our emotions to lead us. I mean, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16 says this, "A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted." Proverbs 19:11, "Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs." Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is, yes, count to 10. Sometimes it's just closing our eyes and singing a Christmas carol, "Joy to the World." Right? The Lord's come. Don't respond out of your emotions. Live out of your values, not out of your emotions. And if your values are telling you to do something that's destructive and harmful, then you need to get new values. That's what Joseph chose to do, and it made all the difference. Look at it. He was realistic with expectations. He was guarded with emotions. But number three, be intentional with your interaction. Verse 19, Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Did you see how he responded? He didn't respond like a hot mess. He responded intentionally. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. He gave some thought. He didn't lead with emotion. He didn't lead with his pain. He led with intentionality. And let's be honest this morning. To stay intentional in our relationships can be difficult, true? If you aren't careful, you can let time erode our intentionality. I mean, the longer you're married, the more careless you can get of not expressing love, not speaking to your spouse, not extending care, because they're always there. And we can do that with our kids. We can do it with close friendships. Tuesday morning. This past Tuesday morning, I ran Caleb to the airport. He graduated from Southeastern University down in Florida on Friday, and so he left Tuesday to meet up with some friends and hang out for a few days, and then we went down on Wednesday. And so Tuesday, I took him to the airport early in the morning, got back. I'm tired. I didn't sleep well the night before, but I got home and just sat down, and I was reading from Romans 1 in my devotional time. And I read these words from the Apostle Paul in light of feeling tired, maybe in light of, man, you know, feeling a little bit sorry for myself about some stuff or whatever because I didn't sleep well the night before. And I read Paul's word as he's writing from prison. He says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, "I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." Doesn't sound like a very Christmassy passage of Scripture, does it? And it's not necessarily. But Paul's urgency to reach the lost and to share the hope of Christ with them challenged me. But even more than that, even more important than that, hopefully it will propel me to such intentionality that Paul was possessing as he sat there in a prison cell, looking at the broader picture of his life and what God was calling him to do. Paul's urgency for the lost and reaching them was propelling him, and that I would share Christ courageously like Paul was sharing Christ. If we are intentional with our interactions, we realize that even there may be tensions there because people are there, there's opportunity there as well. That's what Paul was doing in his setting. For Joseph, he chose to take the message of the Lord, and from the Lord, do something with it rather than follow his emotions, rather than follow his feelings. Listen to the message that Joseph received in verse 20. "As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. 'Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.'" Joseph got the message from the Lord. He chose to live his life on mission instead of shrinking back. Let's ask the question of ourselves as we engage in relationships this Christmas season. Instead of playing prevent defense, trying not to lose, trying to minimize shrapnel of toxic conversations and past hurts and past disappointments and family relationship, what if like Joseph, what if we went on the offensive and said, "I'm going to be intentional. I'm going there looking for someone to encourage. I'm going there to speak life into someone. I'm going there to bring hope. I'm going there to take the light off of me and to celebrate someone else. I'm going there to bring the atmosphere up. I'm not going there to rely on the Christmas decorations to move me. I'm not going there to say if we sing the right Christmas carols, or if the right Christmas carols are playing on the speaker, then it'll be good. I'm not doing that because the light of the world lives in me. He has given us a message. You may not have an angel appearing to you like Joseph did, but you have the Holy Spirit empowering you and guiding you. You have Scripture to help you. Up on the screen, there's several passages of Scripture. I'm not going to take time to read them this morning, but there in Colossians and Matthew and Philippians and Romans, you see some Scripture speaking to this. And when you follow God's word for your relationship, I promise you this: you'll always be glad that you did. The Christmas season, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter if you're a follower of Jesus or you're not a follower of Jesus yet, the Christmas season is the perfect time to bring the love of God, the peace of God, and the presence of God into your gatherings. Don't allow the messes to miss what God has for you. Think about this. If the worship teams, the team would come, think about the regrets Joseph would have had if he responded out of his emotions. If he would have not been intentional in his response, he could have missed out being the earthly father of Jesus because he allowed the mess to dictate his steps. He allowed the emotions to turn his heart. I mean, can you imagine the conversations down at the local barbershop with the guys? One guy could have spotted off, man, you know, I could have been an NFL quarterback, and another one could have said, well, you know, I could have had the biggest vineyard in Palestine. And Joseph could have responded, well, that's all pretty awesome stuff, but I could have been Jesus's earthly dad. One of the buddies would have looked at him and said, well, Joseph, how'd you miss that opportunity? And Joseph would have had to have said, I allowed relational stress and mess to cause me to miss out because I walked away. We don't know a lot about Joseph after the first couple chapters of the Gospels. But can I just encourage us to be like him, to show up, to make a difference in places that you show up in? If I had more time this morning, there would be one more point, and it's really the crux of it all. And it says, be receptive of the gift God gave. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, in the Hebrew language, means Jesus, or excuse me, Lord, is salvation. Your family doesn't save you. Jesus does. Your good works don't save you. Jesus does. Your hope in whatever doesn't save you. Jesus does. Karma doesn't save you. Jesus does. A big bank account doesn't save you. Jesus does. Church attendance doesn't save you. Jesus does. What's he save us from? Our sins. We looked at Romans 3:23, all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we know this, sin has consequences, doesn't it? All of us bear the marks, bears the memories of decisions we made that had consequences. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 5:8 tells us that through Christ, all our sin has been paid for. That is why Christmas is so powerful, because Jesus came for the likes of you and I all across this globe, all throughout time. And when we put our trust in Christ, Romans 10:9-10 tells us that we will be saved. That is the best gift that you can receive. That's the greatest thing that you and I could put on our Christmas list. Is I want to receive eternal life. I want to receive salvation. And you know, there's only one person, there's only one thing that can promise and give that to you. No one else can step forward and say, oh, I'll take care of that one. Only Jesus can. Because only Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for you, your sin and my sin. Only he's the one that can step forward and say, You all can't cover it, but I can. And I freely extend this gift of salvation to whomsoever would call on the name of the Lord. They will be saved. Scripture tells us. That's the best gift that you can receive. It affects your now, but even greater, your eternity. And it's the best gift that I would encourage all of us in this place, those watching online, to say, that's what I want, and that's what I'm going to receive, this gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, I thank you for Christmas. I thank you for Christ. We come to this place to worship you, Jesus. I thank you that Christmas reminds us there is a miracle up ahead. For the person that's never asked you to be their Lord and Savior, there's a miracle up ahead available to them that they can know the forgiveness of sin and know the gift of eternal life, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would be saved. God, Christmas reminds us there's a miracle up ahead. It's called place at your table for all of eternity. God, Christmas reminds us that though we live in a broken world, we serve a victorious God, to keep our eyes focused on the right things. You're here in this place and you'd say, Steve, I'd like to take that first step. I'd like to receive this gift that you're talking about, this gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. You've never done that. I love the privilege of praying with you this morning here in this place. If you're here and you'd say, Steve, I want to do that, or maybe you'd say, I want to know more about what that means. It means that you, in exchange for what Christ did for you, giving himself, you take that in exchange for your brokenness, for your sin. And because of his grace, he washes you, he makes you new, clean, renewed, restored, right relationship with God. And you're not relying on your good works, you are taking what he's giving you, which is the perfect gift, the perfect sacrifice, and you're putting all your hope in that, all your confidence in that. Because if it's in our good works or it's in something else, you never know if it's enough. And Jesus said, my gift is enough.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.